TV set all night
and every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do.
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 15, What the Hype? I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from mytakeontv.com.
I'm going to just start with some sad news. Sad for me anyway. I mean, it's sad for a lot of people, but in particular. Kim Manners died this past week of lung cancer. Very sad. Was a director, executive producer on Supernatural right now. Used to work on The X-Files. That's what he's largely known for at the moment. And he did a whole bunch of work on other shows as well. I also knew him from The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Very sad. I loved the man. When I got to meet him at the Supernatural set visit, it was the highlight of my visit. And in fact, I remember Holly, the Supernatural WB PR person. Like,
hey, Holly.
When we walked over to Kim, we had just like taken a little break, whatever. We walked over to Kim and she like pulled me out of the crowd and was like, Kim, I just want to introduce you to Ray. She's your biggest fan. So it was a hard day on Monday to hear that.
It was very sad.
He will be missed. My thoughts go out to the cast and crew of Supernatural. I've already heard from several people that it's kind of hard on the set right now. And for anybody who's interested, the family has asked that you donate to the American Cancer Society for specifying lung cancer in Kim's name if you want to send condolences or anything. And in lieu of flowers or anything like that, just donate to the American Cancer Society. All right, let's move on to some happier news, if there is it.
So we haven't really talked about what news we're going to talk about tonight. We just have a list that I wrote down. And I'm kind of happy about Jane Espenson running Caprica.
It should be good.
Yeah. I don't really have much more to say about that, but I'm happy for her and for the show.
What does that mean for Ron Moore's involvement in the show? Is he just like an executive producer on it, I assume?
I guess.
Interesting. The other news we have is that it's pilot time, so we're not going to go over the list because there's a huge list of pilots that are being picked up. Like this past week, every other day I get an email from tvtracker.com about a new pilot pickup. So, or not just one, like the email will come in and there'll be like five pilots listed. So some of them sound interesting. Some of them sound not so interesting. Some of them are going to have to convince me that they're not Jericho 2.0. Day One from Jesse Alexander, who previously was on Heroes. You may remember the brouhaha when Jeff Loeb and Jesse Alexander were let go of Heroes just recently. But he...
Tim Kring.
I know. He is going to be the showrunner, executive producer of Day One. And he's actually, for those who don't know, he is on Twitter. Global Couch is his name. And he was just twittering today about how he was going to hire his FX producer or FX coordinator or whatever they call it. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Mostly because I'm following.
Can I just tell you how it sounded? That sentence sounded really funny.
What?
I have no idea why. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. It kind of sounded like you had an Italian accent.
Oh, Amory.
That could have just been in my head.
I think it might have been in your head because I didn't say it any different. But anyway.
So you're hearing in Italian now?
Yes, I am.
Just the accents, because I wasn't speaking in Italian.
Oh,
anyway, I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but when I read the log line about it, it's about a community that comes together after a catastrophic event affects the world. Okay, well, that sounds like Jericho 2.0 to me. So.
It does.
But like I said, going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Following him on Twitter, he seems excited about the project, so we'll see. And then, again, there's a whole bunch of other pilots. We'll probably go through them eventually once they get a little bit further and we know which ones are going to be what. The only one I can think of is Let It Go, the Lauren Graham pilot, which got picked up and is going to have to film around her Guys and Dolls Broadway shows. So we'll see how that goes. I'd like to see her, though.
Or what people are going to call... Men in Trees 2.0.
Yeah.
Is that hers? Let It Go? Because she can't let it go. Yeah, but it's not going to be like she's not moving somewhere where there's no other guys.
Yeah, it's not the quirky little town thing, but sort of the self-help person that can't take, you know, that
can't really advice.
Yeah.
But it's a comedy and it's half hour and it's Lauren Graham. I'm going to give it a try.
Oh, yeah, I'll watch.
Well, I'll be watching.
I watch Better Trees too, so.
I know, so did I. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, what's the other stuff? ABC?
Michelle Ryan. Oh, what are we talking about? ABC, go. Sorry.
We could go to Michelle Ryan if you want.
I'm having my own little...
I wasn't sure if we were interested in the Michelle Ryan news, because I watch Dr. Hugh, but I watch it Q.
I watch Dr. Hugh.
Q. Maybe I do have an accent today.
Some kind of accent.
I watch Doctor Who, but I typically watch it like behind everybody else. Like I wait until it's out on DVD and I can get it and watch it straight through. So I don't ever talk about Doctor Who, but I have watched it for years.
The only thing I want to say about it, like we don't have to touch on it for a long time, is that she was terrible, the Bionic Woman, but she's fantastic in her British shows.
I think it was the accent thing.
Yeah, so I think that I'm going to like her.
Is the companion,
that's all.
Yeah.
Because she'll have her like her own accent and she'll be a little more free. I think she'll be fine.
Yeah, I think I actually may really like her because it'll be, you know, it has kind of it has comedy and
yeah.
She gets to be like a strong female in that role. So I think I'll actually enjoy her in it.
And she doesn't have to have a fake arm or leg to do it.
Exactly. I'm more concerned about who's going to be the next doctor than I am about her, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know enough about him. And I can't even remember his name right now, but that's
Matt
the only
Smith.
Reason. Thank you.
It's the most like, is it that his name? It's like the most generic name possible.
Probably. That's why I can't remember it. So what I was going to say before is ABC is going to be putting Ugly Betty on hiatus for a little while. Mm-hmm. And switching their comedies over to their 8 o'clock slot on Thursdays. Samantha Who and what's the other comedy?
Is it in the Motherhood? Because Scrubs and Better Off Ted are going to be on Wednesdays, right?
Yeah. It's in the Motherhood. That's the show that was adapted from a web series into a show.
Interesting segue. If you have any questions for that showrunner, let me know.
For In the Motherhood?
Yeah, I'm talking to her after this podcast comes out.
Is the showrunner the same person who was doing the online?
Either that, I don't know. Jenny something?
I don't know.
She might just be the EP. She might not be the showrunner.
I'll have to look that up because I would have questions to give you. Not that you were asking me, you were asking our audience, but I would have questions.
But let's be honest, the three of us are our audience.
We have people listening, a few.
Shannon and Kath.
Hi, Shannon.
And Daniel. There we go.
Jody.
Oh, Jody listens, too.
Yo. All right. shut up.
I love us.
So the point was is that ABC is switching their Thursday nights to like a little comedy night there, which I can't blame them. Ugly Betty still gets ratings, but it's been falling so that it's not going to hurt them to take it away for a little while and then bring Ugly Betty back. You know what I mean? I don't think it'll. Ugly Betty's well established. So if they do it, it's not like people who in a first year of a show would forget that the show is on. Like,
is it in its fourth season or its third? Third, right?
It's third, I think. Yeah, it's third.
Personally, I don't watch Ugly Betty, so whether it's on hiatus or not doesn't affect me. But I kind of like the idea of having two other comedy options since I recently have given up on My Name is Earl, and Samantha Who is way better than Kath and Kim.
Way better.
So that'll be something to watch in that time period for me. Although, you know, unless Fox actually does play Bones episodes on Thursday at some point in time.
I'll be watching Bones and then maybe taping those because I don't have anything else. I mean, I watch Ugly Betty, but I still haven't watched the last episode because I just don't care.
But see, I watch Ugly Betty because there's nothing else on that I watch. So with Bones on, like, I don't know that I would watch. But I do like Samantha Who, and I've seen the clip reel from In the Motherhood, and it looks good. So who knows?
Right. Oh, I'm not saying that. I probably will tape. I watch Samantha Who, so I probably will tape Samantha Who and In the Motherhood and watch them. But I would pick Bones first. But what I was going to say was that I agree that I think it's a good thing for ABC to try because NBC's 8 o'clock hour is so weak that they might as well try it and see how it fares against them. Because if they can get those numbers away from them. I think part of the reasoning is we're not going to get those numbers for Ugly Betty because those people are not going to come into the middle of Ugly Betty. But they might come into the middle of comedies. You know what I mean? Because they're already watching. They were already watching comedies on NBC at that 8 o'clock hour. And those comedies are not getting the people anymore. So why not?
Exactly.
So anyway, I do understand why they do it. And I think it's a... probably a smart move. And Ugly Betty fans don't have to worry. It is still going to finish its run. Michael Urie has even assured us of that on his blog.
Cracks me up with the videos he's posting.
I know. Yes, you should definitely check out those. If your favorite part of the show, if your favorite part of the show is Mark, you should definitely check out. I cannot speak today.
You should definitely check out.
I'm going for accent to accent. You should definitely check out Michael Urie's videos and his blog, which I think it's michaelurie.net. I can't remember right now. Sorry.
I think it is. It's like a fun game. Guess what accent Renee's speaking.
Yeah, I was going to say listener homework is guess the accent. Because we don't know what they are. We need some help.
I'm from the South, but I'm not from the South. I live in the South. I was going to say I'm from the South. I live in the South, so maybe there.
She says, I was going to say I'm from the South. You did say you were from the South.
Shut up. All right. You guys are picking on me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the name of this episode should have been.
Let's you guys are on picking Ray. On me. Yeah. I think it's always let's pick on Ray.
All right. So other than that, what else did I have? The only other thing I had was that Chuck will be, instead of extending into May, Chuck will be ending its run in the middle of April, and then there'll be some new reality show. What is that? It's something about looking at the genealogy or looking at something of celebrities, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I have to say about yeah. that.
It's something I won't be watching, so.
All right, well. Actually, it kind of sounds interesting to me, but not necessarily with... Well, the Sarah Jessica Parker one sounds interesting. I don't care about Lisa Kudrow.
Wait, what? Explain this a little further, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
The reality show that's taking the...
What does it have to do with Sarah Jessica Parker?
Because she's one of the celebrities who they're going to be looking into. It's not
but
just
what are they
Lisa
looking into them for?
They're, like, looking into their genealogy or looking into, like, their family.
Odd.
I can't remember what it's called right now. That would probably would help us in figuring out what it's about. But it's basically, like, looking at what, like, their ancestors have done and stuff like that, as I understood it.
Interesting.
So I'm interested in the Sarica. Sarica.
Sarica.
She should just combine her two names into one, okay?
It'd be so much easier. Better for everybody involved.
I'm just interested in the SJP.
Didn't it sound like she was dating herself?
Oh, Lord. All right. Moving on. That was all the news I had. I was sad that Chuck is going to be ending in the middle of April, but on the other hand, I'm happy that it will be.
On one hand, I'm sad. On the other hand, I'm sad. So.
I'm just sad. With the way I'm speaking today, I am sad. What I was going to say was, on the one hand, I'm sad that it's ending early. On the other, I am happy that we're going to have back-to-back new episodes. Until it ends, so what are you going to say? All right, let's kick it on. That's the news, people. Now you know.
Kick it on. I think there might have been a little service interruption because I heard, kick it on.
Oh, those damn service interruptions. I said, I remember what I said. Let's move on. I don't remember what I said. Okay, let's kick it in the bucket. I don't know.
Oh, geez.
I'm pretty sure we're supposed to... Let's poke it on Facebook and...
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Jeez.
Let's move on to our topic of the week. And by the way, you all fail because you didn't call in and do your homework.
No one did.
Yeah, so we had to choose a topic ourselves. So,
Amory and Jason got stuck with the topic that I wanted to talk about because of my lost experience this week.
Which I'm okay with that. I can agree.
Amory sort of contributed to. Actually, she didn't because you didn't rave and rave and rave about it like others did.
I kept my mouth shut.
You did. You just occasionally said something. But see, that would be fine.
I was just really excited about the character named Cunningham. Whatever.
Oh, Amory. So the topic we're going to talk about is how hype affects how you watch a show or you experience a show. For instance, this past week, I didn't love Lost as much as I was expecting to. And I have to qualify this because I really loved the episode and I rewatched it and I loved it more once I had already set my expectations about what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because I had so many Twitters and mostly Twitters. That's where I'm getting it from. I have so many TV people on my Twitter list. So many, obviously. And a lot of them were people who were at TCAs, critics who were at TCAs, and saw the episode, like, in a room full of people, which always makes it more exciting, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
They also saw it before they had any discussions with anybody, besides maybe talking to themselves, not themselves, talking to each other.
Bunch of TV critics walking around talking to themselves.
They probably talked to themselves a little bit about it too, but I meant they might have talked to each other about the first two episodes before they got to see that third one in the room. You know what I mean? But like they went into it kind of cold, whereas me, I went into it after having a week of discussion with people about the first two episodes. So some of the things that the TV critics thought were huge reveals were more like confirmation to me, where they were like a reveal and it was information we didn't know for sure before, but it was information that in the past week especially has come up again that people were speculating about. So I wasn't like stunned. Okay, we're going to talk about Lost now, so some spoilers here. I wasn't stunned to find out that Widmore was on the island as a younger, you know what I mean? That he had been on the island, because I had already speculated that with other people. And so I wasn't as hugely, whatever, surprised by that as I think some of the people who saw the episode before they got to talk about it again and kind of like rehash theories, you know what I mean? So my reaction to it is that it was a good episode, but it kind of let me down in my first viewing of it because I was expecting like all these huge twists and these big, huge revelations. And I was expecting it to just blow me out of the water. And it didn't in my first watching because those things weren't really there. At like 20 minutes past the hour, I was like, where are all these revelations that everybody's talking about? And then, yeah,
the episode had more of a bunch of little revelations or little things in it than a lot of big twists.
Well, the thing was is that I think what probably made the difference was I heard the phrase game changer multiple times from TV critics or from people who had seen it early. And I didn't really feel like there was anything that was really...
And that changed the game.
Right.
Yeah.
I think there were a lot of things that were answered that addressed things that we sort of knew about. Like, I think the bomb is probably a huge reveal, but the way they did it, it didn't come off like one. Like, instead it became like a duh. Saeed made an offhand comment in season two that the only thing he'd ever seen surrounded by concrete like that was a bomb. It had been planted in our heads. So it was kind of more like of course, kind of revelation than a game-changing revelation. So I don't know. So that was where I stand on hype, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. So now you know the story.
Well, I think it does affect it. It definitely affects you if you see too much of that, where it's telling you that it's the, you know, the greatest episode ever or something like that, and then you watch it. That's like the previous week, you know, on Lost, there was a lot of hype coming up to, you know, the season's coming, you know, the show is back and stuff like that. And so you're really excited to see it and stuff like that. But it, like in that case, it like lived up to it. You weren't like disappointed or whatever. But then this one that people were talking, like I saw somebody with the game changer or when somebody starts with talk like that, then all of a sudden it was like, this episode is like better than like the two episodes for the premiere. And then when you watched it, you were, well, this wasn't like, you know, huge, like you said, you know? And so and then you're sort of a little bit disappointed, but when you really look at it, it was a really good episode. I mean, it had a lot of nice.
I was excited about there. Because I don't think I sold it as like a game changer or anything like that. I saw a really good episode, one of my favorite episodes, just because it did answer little questions. And it did give us answers to when, you know, why Alpert was at Locke's birth and why Alpert was there when Locke was like four. Like, those are the things I was excited about. I didn't think it's a game changer. And that does kind of overhype it and then make you disappointed. But you weren't really disappointed. You were disappointed that you didn't get what you were expecting.
Exactly. And that's what I mean by, like, the hype changed my first viewing. If I had come into it cold, I would have loved it the way I loved it the second time I watched it. You know what I mean? Because it actually is my favorite episode of our season so far. Like, we only have three episodes to go from, but it is my favorite for the reasons that you just said. I love continuity, and so many things, like, kind of fell into place continuity-wise there that I loved it for that reason. And I loved all of those little things, and I liked, like, the humor was really good in it and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I like the balance that they've set up. So I liked it. I just, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, damn it, I hadn't been reading everybody's like comments about it, I wouldn't have come in like expecting something in particular and not getting it. I understood that part of it is they're not trying to do that to me. It's that it was their reaction to it, and they were also having to be very vague. And when you have to be vague, you can't help but affect somebody's expectations, because you can't say, this is why I think it's a game changer, in which I might say, oh, well, that's not a game changer to me, so I don't expect that anymore. You know what I mean? But you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a full-out spoiler of explaining
why ahead of time.
But also the reverse is true when you hear a lot of negative hype, I guess you'd put it, you know, where people are saying this is a terrible episode or they're really losing it. And then you watch it and you're like, and you know, like a comedy or something like that, and you watch it and you laugh all the way through it, and you're like, well, what are they talking about? It was comedy and it was funny. It was so, you know, or you know, stuff like that. So I think it works both ways. When the hype gets really, really high that it's the, you know, best thing ever, or I think the extremes are what really do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's true. Like, because I have the same reaction when I go to see, I don't do it so much with TV because I don't read a lot, and people don't usually like write too much unless they've already, like, a lot of people have seen it. They don't write too much when it's negative. Like, you just don't see a lot of people twittering when something is so bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they've watched a screener and it's horrible, you only see it, like, if it's, like, pilot. I'm sort of expecting certain pilots to be horrible, or not pilots, but the first episode, you know what I mean? That those are probably not going to be as bad as I think, because so many people have kind of discussed them. But besides that, like, regular episodes, I don't see a lot of people talking negative. I think you guys see it, Jason, more on the West Coast, because you're seeing the reactions as it's happening. As people are watching it. But anyway.
You know, I have to, on some nights, I just have to walk away from Twitter and just shut it down. Because as soon as something starts on the East Coast or whatever, people just start chatting away on it. And you're like, hello, it doesn't come on for another 3 hours. Thanks. You know.
I know. I know. But anyway, so my point, like, it happens to me a lot when I go to movies, like a movie review will be really, really negative, and then I'll go see the movie and it won't be as bad as I was expecting. Like, it won't be a great movie, but I'm like, well, it wasn't a great movie, but it wasn't horrible, because I was really expecting, like, trash, and I went in and I was amused. So that was all. In some cases, I actually like it when there's a lot of negative reviews, because it just kind of prepares me.
Yeah.
So when I go in, I expect nothing, and then I get something out of it because I expected nothing. Anyway, but this is why I don't read. This is why I Twittered earlier this week. I don't read any reviews. Well, actually, this isn't quite true. I'm very afraid of spoilers. And I know that most people do not have the same level of spoiler
fear. You're afraid of them? Do they hurt you?
They hurt her viewing experience. They do hurt my viewing.
I get that.
Show enjoyment.
I'm afraid in the sense that, like, everybody has a different definition of what a spoiler is. And because I'm so strict about mine, I just know that when I'm reading a review, you know what I mean? Even when I'm writing a review, I have a hard time, because sometimes I feel like I'm giving away something that if I were reading the review, I would consider it a spoiler. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, which is why my review is all like, and then this happens, but I can't tell you what it is, but it's really good.
Exactly.
Yeah, where you write that review that, you know, like 500 words, and by the end of it, you're like, wow, I didn't say anything, you know?
Exactly. So, but yes, that's why I avoid those things, and I try to avoid, you know, any interviews that come before an episode, because I feel like it's going to affect my viewing. Like, I've been doing it this week. I've been avoiding all commentary, all whatever, about the Office Super Bowl episode and the Chuck 3D episode. Anytime anybody starts to talk about it, I, like, scroll past it really fast, because I'm like, I don't want to know. I just want to watch it myself and find out. It may be good. It may be bad. I don't care. I just want to find that out for myself.
Yeah, let me be the judge.
Exactly.
The best thing about the Office Super Bowl show is that it'll be on at the same time for everybody. And so we can all Twitter together. And nobody will get spoiled. Or
I'll be honest, I'm happy that my parents are going to be here watching the Super Bowl, if only because it will force me to know when the Super Bowl ends, and I will start taping The Office.
I'm driving an hour away to watch the Super Bowl, and then I have to drive home after that and work on Monday, so it should be intense.
It's an hour long episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you going to stay and watch it there?
I might just watch it. I don't know.
It'll be online the next day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so do we have any more thoughts about height? Or we have pretty much covered that. No?
One thing I do want to say, people, like, certain critics feel like, I don't know, like on Twitter, when they post something, it's almost like bragging rights to say they've seen it. So they make it sound better than it is because they're like, oh, well, I saw it and it was so good. They don't necessarily have to say it was so good. Like, they overhype it. They can just say, oh, I saw it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and like, and we'll, you know, still click here, you know, and click here for my review if you want to know something about it.
I resent it when I just know they got it in the mail. I don't need to even hear how it was, okay?
your jealousy flares.
It has actually nothing to do with them seeing the episode early. It has everything to do with if I got it in the mail, I wouldn't have to deal with the juggling of every episode. I could watch it early and I would be done mm-hmm. with it, and I mm-hmm. could concentrate on something else that night. So my jealousy has more to do with their ability to schedule their nights a little bit differently than it has to do with anything else.
He's got a whole different set of issues.
It doesn't even have to do with the fact that, like, they get it early so they can write a review. Like, I could care less because I know myself. I'm not going to sit down and write it until after the show has aired. Unless I really need to write an early review. A lot of times I will not write anything about it until after it's aired anyway, because I will have rewatched it or something like that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because, like, I don't want to spoil anybody. So it really is just about the convenience of them being able to sit down and watch the show anytime they want. Like, I was a little bit jealous about the Office episode because I was like, damn it. If I had that now, I wouldn't have to worry about staying up after the frickin' Super Bowl and watching it. Or, like, I wasn't jealous about people getting the Chuck 3D episode itself. I was jealous because they were getting the 3D episode with glasses. So if I'd gotten that,
I wouldn't have to.
Yeah,
so you didn't have to go through your whole search for glasses.
Oh,
I can't believe how hard it was for you to find any glasses.
None of the stores they had listed, Kmart, Winn-Dixie, but none of the grocery stores they had listed are Florida grocery stores. Like, none of them are grocery stores that we have.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I walked into my local Safeway and walked right back out in like 30 seconds with the.
You shoplifted? Oh, they're free. Never mind.
They're free. I did feel weird, though, because I went, like, when somebody Twittered and told me, somebody in Orlando saw me complaining. That was how I found mine. Saw me saying I couldn't find them. And he said, hey, the Winter Park Publix has it. Okay, well, the Winter Park Publix, this is what's ironic about the whole thing. The Winter Park Publix is like a mile from me. But it's the other direction, you know, like, it's not the direction I come home from work, so I never pass it. So I only go there, like, if I'm out on the weekends doing something and I pass it on the way home, I'll stop and get something. But I never, like, specifically go there for anything, you know what I mean? Because it's not on my way home. So I went there specifically to get the glasses. I walked in to get the glasses, and I was talking to my mom on the phone, and I'm like, Mom, I feel kind of weird, like, getting the glasses and leaving. Like, I feel like I should buy something, but I just went to Publix. I can't buy anything because I just bought all my groceries. I walked out with just the glasses, but, and then I went to Kmart and they had them at Kmart too. So after all the hardship, after 3 days of not being able to find them, I found them in two places.
They were everywhere.
Exactly. Within 10 minutes of each other, they were in two different places. Ain't that the way it goes? Anyway. All right. All right.
All right.
All right. All right. All right.
All right.
Can I say that a few more
all
times?
All right.
If you would like to call in and tell us how you feel about hype, whether it affects your viewing, whether it enhances or takes away from your viewing, you are welcome to do so at 213-985-3176. Let's move on to our prime time. The first show on our list is Battlestar Galactica, which I do not watch, so you guys need to talk about it.
You don't watch?
Okay, I will explain the story before I get 1,000 emails telling me to watch. I used to watch Battlestar Galactica. I got behind. I'm so far behind now that there's no way I could catch up. Well, I could do what Jason did, but I was doing it with Lost, so it wasn't going to happen. And so I can't catch up at this point, and so I'm just going to wait to watch the show until it's all out on DVD. And yes, that means I've gotten spoiled 1,000 times over, but I figure by the time I actually watch it, I'm not going to really remember all the spoilers I've heard anyway. I'll just vaguely remember them, so I'll be okay. So that's why I'm not watching it at the moment. It has nothing to do with the quality of the show. I love the show. I think it's great. It's because I fell behind, and I cannot start watching in the middle. So there you go.
So there you go.
Now you guys should talk about it.
So we didn't talk about it 2 weeks ago, did we?
We haven't talked about it at all.
Okay, so I just have one thing to say about the premiere, and then we can go on to the last week's episode. I am not 100% okay with who this Cylon is, the fifth Cylon.
Okay.
But I'm not against it. It was kind of a letdown because I thought it was going to be someone that I cared about.
Did you have something in particular in mind or just someone who you cared about more so than you did the person who?
I was hoping it would be someone that's still alive so that we could see them, like, realize they're a Cylon.
Gotcha.
But they went the opposite direction. No. Okay. Okay. I guess that's all we have to say. No.
Well, you said you wanted to say one thing about that before you started talking about this week, so.
That was that.
He was giving you some space to start talking.
Thank you. Thank you, because I need it. I have a lot to say. This past week's episode was kind of like, what? Lara's running around like a crazy person, and I'm not exactly... Oh. But there was kind of a big reveal about Tyrell's kid, because a lot's been said, like, well, what about Hera? She's supposed to be this hybrid baby that's the header of all greatness or whatever. But then we found out Tyrell was a Cylon, and they were like, well, now he is a baby with a human. As it turns out, spoiler alert, not his kid. Callie's a hoe. Or was a hoe. God rest her soul.
Well, it was in some senses, it was a housekeeping episode where they had to come in and clean up some things after they decided, you know, who were going to be the five Cylons. They had to clean up stuff like that so that those questions wouldn't be asked anymore.
Yeah.
But I thought it was actually kind of interesting there. And then also the Cylon baby, where obviously one of the four or five can make a baby with one of the other seven models, since the other seven models can't seem to be able to make that happen. So that was, that was kind of an interesting, and it also helped to sort of fuel the us and them type of thing between the Cylons and the humans.
Mm-hmm.
But the main problem people seemed to have with the episode was, you know, they didn't like it. It was too slow. It was too much about, like, you know, politics and this, that, and the other thing. And you know, it wasn't enough action. And I thought it was, you know, you got to have these type of episodes. You can't just have space battles every episode or whatever. The show is about these people and these circumstances and the politics and all this stuff. And I thought this type of episode was, you know, it was kind of needed as sort of get you ready for, I mean, because, you know, next week or this week, when you're listening to this, it'll be last week's episode. is you know, the people taking over, you know, a revolution or whatever attempted, or is what the previews show. And so if you don't have this type of stuff laying the groundwork for that, the next episode just comes out of nowhere. And I think that people, for, you know, watch one episode and don't realize when they're watching the next episode that they think is really great, that episode wouldn't have been as great if the groundwork wouldn't have been laid in the previous episode.
I get that. I just want to know what, like, the frack is up with Starbuck. What is she?
Yeah, that's one that you want to know. But I think my favorite scene in the whole episode was Tyrell when they were all in talking about the upgrading the FTL drives and all that stuff. And
he had to, like, he had all those pronoun issues because he didn't know what to say us or them.
He kept doing the us or them or we, us, wait. And Ty's like, you need like a chart. You know,
that was a good scene.
Straight. That was so funny because he couldn't keep it straight in his head. Like, he'd so long it'd been, and now he's trying to, you know, after being on Earth and what he saw there, he's now trying to, you know, deal with, you know, taking on this other persona. That I just thought that was great. Added a little comedy there in the midst of all this.
I like when they throw in some comedy. I'm excited for the rest of the season. I think it's going to be great. And I'm... Let me see.
Hello?
Amory? I'm going to say...
I think we might have lost Amory.
I don't know. Yeah, the call still shows that she is...
Yeah, we can't hear you. She messaged me and said, I can hear you. We can't hear you, Amory.
Amory can't wait to see what the rest of the season unfolds.
If it was that big of a deal, I could have cut it out myself.
Hello?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yep. It did look
I'm interested
weird
to
thing.
See how the rest of the season unfolds.
Yeah, you better hurry up and get it out before you can't get it out. Lordy.
I concur.
Oh, for those playing along at home, Amory had a little sound problem, which you're not going to hear. That's why we're laughing. Okay. Are you guys done talking about Battlestar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now that Amory has concluded it for us in such a dramatic fashion.
It was suspenseful. I was like, what's she going to say?
Yeah. I just loved the, I can hear you. Sorry, we can't hear you. All right. Can you hear me now?
Peace sign.
Oh, Lord. All right. Get it together. Psych.
Psych. Psych
out. Did we decide we were going to talk about Psych? This is the episode in the Earth, Wind, Fire episode in the firehouse.
Wasn't it Earth, Wind, Wait for It?
Yes.
I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
So do I. I liked the episode. It wasn't as good for me as the previous two episodes. There was still plenty of funny stuff in it. I loved all of Sean's attempts to combine murder and arsonist.
Yeah.
Carsonist, yeah. Is that what he said? No, Carsassin, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was Arsassin. It was an Arsassin, and then he tried Carsonist with the killer arsonist.
Oh, that's what it is, killer arsonist.
What was the one with murderer?
I know, I can't think of what it was. I think it might have been furterer, like fire and murderer together.
They're like, no, Arsassin. We'll go with that.
That was very funny. So I liked that part. It wasn't overly, like, I don't know what it was that didn't work for me completely, but maybe because I missed that they went from last week from them working with the group, like, because they were trying to figure out what had gone wrong and it wasn't Lassie. And then this week, like, they almost didn't work with them at all. So maybe it was, like, the two things, like, 1 week we get them with everybody and then the next week they don't work with them at all, which is how they typically work, but I just kind of missed seeing everybody. Not that we didn't see them. We saw them. You know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying. So how would you know what I'm saying? But
I never do.
Thanks, Amory. Thanks for the support. Oh, you guys are picking up me.
Unfortunately, your microphone continues to work.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get you back for that one. Anyway, I liked it. I didn't love it. You guys?
I'm with you. I liked it. I didn't love it. But I do like that girl.
The arson.
The one who was on Law and Order for like a week.
Yeah, the one who was investigating the arson.
Yes.
I liked her too. Maybe we'll see her again.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I just liked the ending where Sean gives him the scruffy little dog. And he's like looking at it and he goes, Did you paint these spots on there, Sean? Give him a Dalmatian for working at the fire department.
Funny.
Or I like the other earlier on with the where he's like, you know, Gus, this is not their natural habitat. He never sees a Dalmatian at the fire department.
The poor Dalmatians. Anything else about Psych?
No.
No. You guys, I think we need to start paying attention to when the pineapple shows up.
Yes, we should. Make that your mission. Or, listener homework.
The pineapple, like the Observer in Fringe, in correct. Every episode, they say.
In fact, that's a good one. We should start paying attention to both of those things from now on so that we can tell people. We can tell listeners to do homework, but also if you're doing that homework, you might as well also go to USA and enter the pineapple sweepstakes if you're doing that.
Like a lot of times, I usually do sort of notice it or figure it out, but I have to say I don't recall it in this last episode. Like in the previous episode, there was one in Lassiter's bag of groceries when he showed up back at, you know, at his house.
Yeah, and I don't remember this one.
But this one I didn't really.
And this time I was actually looking for it because I had just seen that commercial about how if you spot the pineapple, you can either text or go enter online. And so I was actually actively looking for it, but then I must have forgotten about halfway through to keep looking, as I often do.
Yeah, well, you kind of, it's like, it's one of those things, you almost have to, like, watch the episode and enjoy it, and then, like, go back and watch it again to look for the pineapple.
Exactly.
You, like, miss other stuff that happens when you're trying to scan, like, the whole room or whatever for a pineapple in the background or something.
Right. Okay. Let's move on to the closer from Monday night. Wasn't this the episode with...
Oh, my God. She's going to make up another fake crime that happened on Monk or something.
For those playing along at home, before we started the podcast, I tried to combine an episode of Life with this episode of The Closer. Look, it would have been a good episode.
Yeah, it would have.
It'd been about a lottery winner who killed himself because a girl who wasn't really sick was trying to get money out of him by pretending to be sick.
Whatever. Interestingly enough, I don't remember that episode of Life.
Oh, you would remember. It was the episode where the guy who had the RV, because he won the money. They were like in a meeting, and nobody wanted to tell him why they were having the meeting, because the meeting was like
that was the
lottery winner.
Oh, that's
anonymous.
Right. Okay, got it.
And the only reason I remembered it was because like there was somebody conning the guy, pretending she'd won lottery. You know what I mean? That's how she would meet them, by getting into the meeting and pretend she'd won the lottery when she hadn't really won it.
Right.
So it was like a woman conning a guy, which is what made me think. That's what made me connect the two together. Hello. They did have a reason.
Well, as long as you did.
Whatever.
Can't fault
Let's talk
that.
About Closer. Let's talk about this actual episode.
Okay, first two important things.
Yes.
No one's dead.
Correct.
Should I say spoiler alert?
Oh, I get what you're talking. Sanchez
is alive.
See, it's been
the
so
episode's
long since
aired
I watched.
Now. You can say
that's true.
Sanchez is alive after being ordered to stay alive by Brenda Lee Johnson.
I will say and this also, about that before okay. you get to your second one, that I was a little disappointed. I don't know why I was. This is how the Closer always plays out those type of stories, but I was a little disappointed in the way they conclude. Like, it wasn't really like a cliffhanger, like when they came back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it just kind of started back up in the middle. Actually, Veronica Mars did this all the time too, where like they'd end in a cliffhanger, so you were like all excited to see the resolve of the cliffhanger, and then it would come back and just be like in the middle of a story, and then you would kind of figure out how the cliffhanger ended.
The resolve of the cliffhanger was that it's like 5-6 months later, and he's pretty much almost all better.
Was it really 5 or 6 months?
It's
I think it was a couple weeks.
Yeah.
No, but it's been a lot longer because it's been a lot longer because the episodes were taking place. I mean, it's not just that they were playing over the summer, but they were actually playing similar in time frame because there was the talk of her getting married.
I know, but it has been 6 months since
they were saying
that episode.
No, but they were saying that they were going to get married in February, or that's when they agreed, or it was like January.
I understand
February.
That they're happening like real time, but I don't think it's been 6 months since we saw an episode, is what I'm saying. Right? It's only been 3 months.
Wasn't it on in September?
No, it's been a little bit longer.
Last season end with, well, not last season, but the cliffhanger was like Fritz fighting with Brenda? They never made up, did they?
The last episode was September, the last episode that aired.
They didn't not make up. It wasn't in the last episode, Amory. It was like a couple episodes and they were kind of speaking to each other, but you know what I mean? And then there was that thing happened on the roof and whatever.
So it's been like 4 months.
Right. So it wasn't like they were actively fighting, Amory. They just were whatever. But it is true that the Closer always picks up like on the same timeline. Like, it always starts like this. So I shouldn't have been surprised that that's what happened. But I was a little disappointed in the resolve of the cliffhanger, which was that he was alive. You know what I mean?
I gotcha.
Anyway, what was your second thing?
The Fritz fighting with Brenda thing.
Oh.
I realized they had made up.
Well, they hadn't made up, but we saw episodes after they fought and they were still, right? Or was it that very last episode?
No, I'm pretty sure that last episode was there. They had like the argument.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see that come out. Maybe they've been ignoring it because the Sanchez thing happened.
Yeah.
And that took all of her, you know what I mean? Like, the Sanchez thing happened, she got shot at, all of that happened, you know what I mean? Which would naturally make you kind of move beyond your fight for a moment.
I think their big fight was before the final episode.
I thought
it's
was.
It's all
too.
Just jumbling together in my head.
This is why I thought it was before it, because I thought it was weird. Like, I remember thinking about the other episodes that followed it. It wasn't very many before it. It might have been one or two before it.
Because they had kind of resolved it because he had given her the ultimatum, like, we're going to get married by this time, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And so they had agreed. And so they've come back to the show just right before that would be taking place.
That's what I remember, is that they weren't fighting. Nobody cares about what we're talking about right now, but I remember that they weren't like fighting, but that they were like at the point past the fight where they were still being kind of cold to each other, or he was being kind of cold to her and she was just kind of avoiding it. But I don't recall well
we've gone on forever about that.
Yeah.
We can close the book on the Closer here and
all right. Let's move on then to Trust Me, the other TNT show on Monday night. This is the first episode.
I don't know. I've read a lot of this. Kind of goes back to our story about hype, or our chat about hype. I don't dislike it. And I read a lot of people that are like, oh, it wasn't good, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I thought it was fine. I don't know.
This goes back to what I said before it started, which was, I feel like a lot of people are comparing it to Mad Men. And one, I don't think that's fair because it's not even trying to be the same type of show as Mad Men. And two, I don't watch Mad Men. So to me, like, I don't, maybe I would think it's not as great if I had it to compare to Mad Men. I don't know, but I don't watch Mad Men, so I don't really care. I thought it was good. I didn't love it. I was happy. Even though it is one of Amory's men who got killed off.
Yeah. Love him.
Or died. I shouldn't say he got killed off because he died natural causes. But I was so happy to see him gone because he was aggravating. Greg was the same way. We were watching that first episode and Greg was like, when he, after he died, he's like, thank God he's dead because I wouldn't have been able to watch with him in the show. But other than that, I really liked it. I mean, I don't love it yet, but I like it enough to give it more episodes to win me over.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, the second episode I thought was very funny.
Yeah, I thought this, I think next week's episode or the second episode is, it has more of what I think they're, you know, going for with the, a little bit more comedy and, you know, added in. I think they tried, it's part of what happened with the first episode is what can happen in a pilot or first episode is you have to try and give out so much information, trying to get people about the character or know the characters that they almost do too much in an episode instead of giving you like you wouldn't be willing to maybe learn some of this over like the first two or three episodes or something like that. But I think the second episode gives you more of what I think they're going to be going for on a weekly basis, show wise with the more dramedy aspect of it. Cause it didn't seem to have as much of the comedy in the first one.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's true. And my only, and it's not a complaint really. It's just a note hoping that they will overcome this or find, you know what I mean? Find a way is that Studio 60 suffered from this back in the day where because they were a show about like a sketch show, you know what I mean? When they showed sketches and they weren't funny, but we were hearing all along about how this was a great, these were great writers, whatever, you know what I mean? Like they sold the idea that these two guys coming in to take over the show were great writers and great comedy writers. And that's why they were chosen.
And then the audience flocked back to the show and everybody was liking everything, but you were watching it and going, what?
Right, like those sketches weren't funny.
Yeah, they have that. They have that potential to have that problem with the advertising slogans and stuff like that. That these are like advertising things, and then you're like, really? That's what you've come up with? I think they have that potential.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. That, and this may be more in the second episode. I can't remember exactly where we really see like a bulk of their things that they come up with. I think it is actually the second episode. So I'm not going to say too much about it. It's just that I wasn't impressed with any of the advertising stuff that they came up with. So I'm hoping that either they won't focus on it as much from now on. It'll be more about how the people interact than it will be about what the actual slogans are that they're coming up with, whatever. Because they just weren't very good. And if I'm supposed to buy that this is a good advertising agency, I will say the one thing that they did do is that actually, I can't talk about it because it's in the second episode. So I'll talk about it next week. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt myself, but...
Trust me, we'll come back to it next week.
Yes. Let's move on to Fringe.
I have not watched Fringe yet.
Okay, we're not going to move on to Fringe.
But I don't care about being spoiled. No, I don't care about being spoiled. So I'm just saying I can't contribute. You. No, I don't care. I read recaps of it. I know what happened.
This was the episode where the computer episode. Lord. You know what would have been really funny? You guys are going to think this would have been funny, but I thought it would have been funny if the thing that they used to click on the link, it was like a pop-up window or a pop-up email or something, right? I don't remember what it was exactly. But if it had been a Twitter, it would have been really funny because, whatchamacallit? Oh my God, I can't blink. I'm blanking on his. Yes, thank you. Orsi is on Twitter. So it would have just been a funny, like, little in joke for the people who are on Twitter that, that it was a link on Twitter that they were clicking on. Cause that's actually pretty like could happen because you can't really tell what the links are. And if somebody is vague enough and they're somebody, you know, if their Twitter account got hijacked, you would know that they were, or if it was just somebody you started following and you did click on their link anyway. Anyway, since I saw a lot of jokes about how people were like, the real tragedy in the episode is that they saved those people. If you're stupid enough to click on a link in an email, you should.
Whatever. Yeah, well, the only person they saved was the little girl.
No, I know. Well, anybody they saved after that.
Except that they didn't really save her. The guy actually stopped.
He didn't.
They didn't do anything.
Pulled her away from the computer.
No, they didn't. They kept running around looking at stuff, and she was still looking at the computer the whole time. And then it was stopped, and so you were left thinking, well, did the whole thing take place already, and they were too late? And then she kind of came out of it, and it was more of a warning to back off or something.
I guess so. At least that's how I saw it. I thought he was doing it not to the little girl. I thought he was intending to do it to Olivia. Like, I mean, he may have ended up doing it as a warning. We're so talking in circles. He may have ended up doing it as a warning. You know what I'm saying? But I thought he initially did it intentionally for Olivia.
Mm. Well, I'm sure it was for, you know, you never know who's going to pick up or sit down at a computer and click the link necessarily. So.
Yeah, but when he saw her looking in the camera, he knew who she was. That's why I thought he sent the email.
That was afterwards, though.
I know, but
that was afterwards. Well, that's why I think he was still watching and sort of showing that he was, you know, that he had control or whatever.
Okay. I don't want to get into it anymore. All I want to say about the episode is that, because I saw somebody complain about it or whatever, and I just wanted to say that I'm actually really liking it. I think that they're showing me what I needed for Olivia. Like, I needed to be a little bit more connected to Olivia, and the past couple episodes have done that. So even now, if we went back to what we had before, I would feel closer to Olivia and actually care about Olivia. So mm-hmm. I just saw some people like complaining about it being lighter, or I think the lighter was about using the song at the beginning, which was a little weird. I can't remember the name of the song right now, but
Single Ladies.
Yes, thank you.
I didn't even watch the episode, and I remember reading about that. Seeing Single Ladies on Fringe is so weird. I'm like, seeing that song anywhere is so weird.
It just was like, just the way it was edited to, it was like it was from a different show.
And you're welcome, listeners, for putting that song in your head.
Yes. And it was like right at the beginning. So, you know, they did it intentionally, because it wasn't like a little bit into the opening. It was like the opening of the show. So if you were watching it from American Idol, that's what you were seeing, as if you were going to trick the American Idol people that this might be a show you might want to watch, because look, we're doing Single Ladies. Anyway, it was just funny to me. It was a little out of place. But besides that, like seeing her dance with a little girl was cute, and just like her family being more involved in the story, I think gave us a connection to the story we wouldn't otherwise have had. Mm-hmm. So I like it.
Well, it humanized her. It gave her sort of more like the original, the first episode, you know, where you see her with John. Is that the right name?
Yeah.
It's been so long ago. But then in the meantime, she like turned into like this, you know, very straightforward, very, you know, job only. And so to see that she actually does have, you know, family and other things this is why she does what she does, you know, to protect people like her family. Mm-hmm. But I thought the episode overall was good, and I liked that it wasn't really pattern related. It was just it was just this weird occurrence.
I'll have to check it out this week.
Okay, let's move on from it then, so we don't spoil Amory too much.
Well, just one last thing is, and if I'm right, and that's not pattern related, then the observer shouldn't have been in this last episode. If he's only observing pattern related, related incidents, then he shouldn't have been found in this episode. That would be, I'd be Ooh. Interested to know if anybody saw him.
Hmm. Okay, let's move on. And before we go to Lost, let's talk about Burn Notice really fast, because I don't know how much we'll have to say about Lost, and
we kind of talked about Lost, a lot of Lost in.
All right, then let's just say, is there anything else about Lost that we want to bring up? I have one thing, but other than that. You guys have anything?
What was your one thing?
Yeah, let's see what your one thing is.
All right, so I have a new theory, and I'm going to actually make a post about it, so I won't bore you with it too much, but I just have to tell somebody. Okay, so my theory is about the Lost pregnancies, and I'm going to give a little shout-out to John Cabrera.
That they're all Cylons and they can't have babies?
No. Right. No. Yes, John Cabrera, who you can follow on Twitter. Shocker.
Love him.
But he also has a blog, and he has posted some of his theories about Lost. And in the discussion about his first theory that he posted in the comment discussion, like, I was reading the comments, and something occurred to me because we were talking about how people, like, people not aging or whatever on the island. And I'm thinking that it would make sense that if somebody who is actually connected to the island or was, like, conceived on the island, which would give you a connection to the island, obviously, that if you don't age on the island because you're connected to the island, then how could a fetus grow? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if the fetus couldn't age, then it couldn't grow, which would explain why those pregnancies never come to term, because the baby can't ever grow in the mother's stomach because it can't age.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
I think I've had that thought before, too. So great minds think alike, because I think I've thought about that.
It's the only thing that makes sense to me. Like, I hear a lot of people talking about the time travel maybe affecting birth, except that the time travel stuff wasn't happening previously.
Right.
Not that they couldn't do time travel or that it couldn't have happened at some point, but we heard them talking about pregnancies, and it wasn't like they were talking about, oh, we kept flashing in and out of time and we couldn't get pregnant. You know what I mean? Like, they... I understand why a pregnancy might not be able to make it through a time flash, but the time flash doesn't affect those people who are already living in that time. And we saw no evidence that they were experiencing time flashes continuously up until this point, which maybe we just don't know about it. So that's possible, but we haven't seen any evidence of that. So I just can't give much credence to that theory. Because I just don't understand why the time travel would be affecting somebody with a, you know what I mean? But the aging thing I could understand. I could understand them trying to figure out some kind of serum to interject into the mothers that would sever the connection with the island, or that would, you know what I mean? That would try to accelerate the aging process, which might get you you know what I mean? Might be able to get you so far along in the term of the baby, whatever. Like, I could see them trying to do experiments to get around the aging thing. So anyway.
Here's my question. Didn't Charlotte say last year that she was born on the island?
That, I guess. Did she say she was born or that she was there as a child?
I don't remember, but she's connected to the island somehow.
In the past, Ben tried to say he was born on the island, but we found out that he wasn't actually born on the island. So I'm not sure. No, she is definitely connected, and I know that she was supposedly there as a child, which is why I think she's actually Ben's...
Annie.
Which is why I think that Ben is her constant. But anyway, that's besides the point. that's a different theory. But I don't know for sure. I'd have to go back and rewatch. Yes, that would throw my... Because I was actually thinking that other people could have been conceived on the island. If they got them off the island fast enough, they wouldn't have lost the baby, perhaps. So you could have people who were conceived on the island but were not actually born on the island.
I gotcha.
We do have people who were born on the island, but those weren't people who were actually conceived there. So anyway,
the show continues to frack my mind.
I know. It's very good.
And I will continue watching, and I have complete another faith in them.
Well, after your shout out this week, I don't understand how you couldn't.
I know, right? Hey, Cunningham, what's up? Even though I died, whatever. They killed me very, very, very meanly. Widmore, douchebag.
Sorry.
It's okay. You didn't do it.
This is true. I didn't. And my name's not Charles or Widmore, so.
So you're in the clear.
Unless his middle name is Ray Lee or Hansen, we're clear.
Charles Ray Lee Hansen Widmore.
All right. All right, we're just being silly now.
Now.
Do you have other things we wanted to say? Jason? Shut up with the now.
Seriously, we're always silly. Yeah. I felt like Kenneth from 30 Rock there. We're always silly. I just felt like I said it the way he would say it.
All right.
No, I think with Lost, I just can't wait to see how the season unfolds.
More now than ever, I have faith that these writers know what they're doing. Like, that they have an end, they have a plan, everything's connected, and it all makes sense. Not makes sense, but you know what I mean.
That it will make sense.
Yeah. Like, the fact that they could explain little things like Albert being at Locke's birth. That, to me, means that they have something in their heads, that something's happening.
I would agree with that.
Yes.
I'm liking it a lot. And next week starts my I'm going to start having a lost night at my house, so hopefully I will have people to talk to after the episode.
Nice.
I'm excited about that.
Next week starts the first episode I haven't seen, so I'm not spoiled at all, except for the first three I saw ahead of time. So
about time, Amory.
Bring it on. What?
Damn you.
About time.
I was doing my jealousy you got to watch it on your own schedule thing. All right. Well, then, let's move on to Burn Notice.
Yes. We'll be interested. You know what, though? Homework assignment. Email us your theories on Lost.
Yes. Email us all of your crackpot theories, and we will read them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We won't necessarily agree with them. We might even find reasons why we don't agree with them, but we will read them, and we will give you credit for them.
Absolutely.
So that when you turn out to be right, like I will be. Surely one of my theories will be right. Not necessarily this pregnancy one, necessarily Ben being the constant, but something I say will be right eventually.
That's right. It's not about quality of predictions. It's about quantity.
Exactly. If you make more predictions, the more chances you have to maybe getting one of them right.
Oh, I love it.
All right. So let's move on to Burn Notice. You people have your homework. Wait. You have your homework, 213 and 985-3176. All right. Moving on to Burn Notice.
Oh, freaking time. No, I'm kidding. Because I talked a whole lot today.
Well, this episode's going to come up after the Super Bowl, so it's going to be sort of a super-sized.
There you go.
Talking about our top podcast. I'm like, what are you talking about? We watched Burn Notice.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, we might as well be like every other TV show and have, we didn't talk about anything football related, so never mind. Anyway, Burn Notice. Really? Is that what we all thought?
Well, here's the thing. I read a lot of people say that they didn't like the episode. Uh-huh. And, or no, back up. I read a lot of people say that they thought it was one of the best episodes of the season.
I didn't think that.
And I didn't think that.
Right?
What
about the people who thought it was the worst?
No, I was wrong. I meant that they thought it was the best.
Okay. I saw people say it was not so good either. Two, I mean.
Also, as well.
I thought it was really good.
I don't dislike anything, you know, that they do. Nothing like that. But, I don't know. It wasn't, like, the best episode. I don't know.
I would agree with that. Like, I wasn't as into it as I was the week before. I don't know why. I can't really. It wasn't the football thing, because it wasn't really like it stayed on the football thing for very long. Maybe it was because it was like a, I wasn't sure how they were going to get out of the situation that they were creating. And then having him have a bigger boss that we hadn't heard mentioned seemed kind of like a cheat. But it wasn't like it was bad. It just was not as engaging to me as it usually is. I mean, I don't know how to explain what I mean, because I really loved it.
You mean who had a bigger boss that wasn't mentioned?
The gang leader.
He was mentioned right there at the beginning when they were sitting across the street and the guy was pointing out, there's the guy that beat me up. See the guy he's talking to now? That's his boss. Huh. So you knew that the guy had a boss at the beginning.
Maybe that was the problem. I missed that. I missed that reference. So I just wasn't as engaged, but that doesn't mean that I didn't like it. I still really liked it. I always like Burn Notice. That's the thing. Like, I don't think there's ever been an episode of Burn Notice that I didn't really like. You know what I mean? And I kept it on my DVR because I don't like to delete Burn Notices because I like to rewatch them. So it's not like it was bad. I'm not saying that at all. I just didn't think it was so outstanding. Now, I will say that I thought the end was really great. And I do think that a lot of times when the end is really great, it affects your belief of the entire episode. You know what I mean? Like, you then end up thinking that the entire episode was awesome.
What was so great about the end to you, though?
Because I actually believed for a moment that maybe something was happening to Fiona. I'm not sure. I think it would have been a little better of an ending if they had just ended it there. Like, us not knowing what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, not that I don't believe that she's gonna die, you know what I mean? But I would have been on the edge of my seat until the next week to find out what happened to her versus him taking that long to get back to the apartment, I guess.
Yeah, but they needed the last scene between him and Carla.
I know. I understand that. I'm just saying, like, what I liked about it was the Michael and Fiona moment is what I liked about the ending. That's what I thought was really good. She was asking me what I thought was really good about the ending. I'm not counting the Carla and Michael thing, because actually, I thought Trisha Helfer was kind of off last night. Like, I didn't like any of the scenes with Carla last night. Obviously.
Like, it was pretty as she was last week. I like the ending where it showed that she's, like, she actually showed, like, a little fear. Like, that she's, like, on the hook here.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just didn't like those scenes, I guess. Something was off for me. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was because she wasn't frizzy and I was expecting her to be frizzy.
That's all I thought about when I watched it. I was like, she's not as frizzy. And I made that whole point that she was getting frizzier.
I did. It's all I was thinking about in that last scene. I was like, her hair is like totally flat right now, Amory.
Maybe she was just so worked up last week that she got frizzy.
I think that's probably what it was.
You had succumbed to the frizz hype and were disappointed. Well, I mean, it wasn't as frizzy as you'd expected.
See? Amory, with your hype.
I'm overselling things. I'm overselling it.
It might have been, you know what it is they're in Florida. One week, if you're having a storm or something, or maybe like the previous episode, they were doing something and it was really muggy out. And then the next week, it was like a colder week and it wasn't as muggy. And so her hair was flatter. Like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I just noticed that it wasn't frizzy at all. And I was like,
what a crazy world I've
frizz. There is none.
Anyway, what I did really like about the episode, though, I will say, is I loved all of the scenes of them working together, like in their suits and everything. I did love that because I love it when all three of them are together. What?
Was there something? I read something about an Irish accent. Did I miss that?
Yeah, he did. Like, he was recalling when they met. And he did his Irish accent, like the guy he pretended to be when they met. Amory.
I missed a whole scene.
Wow, that was a good scene, too.
Yeah, it was a good scene. You need to go back and
also,
watch that.
Yeah, I also liked that, like, this case was, like, Fiona was the one that was, like, wanted to take the case.
Okay, so I read a theory today. Something I thought about since the beginning of the show. Is she involved in his burn?
I don't think so. I saw that theory somewhere.
That's what the fake fortune cookie said.
Did you read that on Alan Sepinwall's comments?
I think it was, maybe it was Buddy TV? Or was it Jace?
I don't know.
It wasn't Sepinwall's site, though.
What did you just say, Jason? Sorry.
I said that's what she said, the fake message in the fortune cookie to get his attention. She said the person who burned you is closer than you think.
So you think that indicates that it was her?
No, I'm just saying that was they sort of threw out a fake line there in the show.
Right. But I don't think that's what people are basing it on. I think they just think she did it. Like, I think it was both that, like, fake line in the show and Carla's comment about could it have been.
Well, that too. And the fact that, like, she went into that explosive guy's house and, like, didn't expect there to be a bomb of some sort. And then let Michael think that she had died. I don't know. So now I'm all suspicious.
I didn't think she specifically let him think that she died. She said that her phone was, that she had to use her phone. Well, she had to do whatever to get out. And her phone was dead because it had melted in the fire. Or, you know what I mean? Whatever she'd done, it broke the phone.
I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens next.
You're excited to see how the rest of the season unfolds.
Exactly.
I'm basing my idea that it's not her on the fact that they've said before that he didn't, like, I thought Matt Nix had made some comment about he didn't think any of Michael's friends had done it.
Well, he would know.
But I could be wrong about that. He might have been talking about Sam. But I thought somebody, like, when we went to the set visit, I thought somebody specifically asked the question about could it have been one of his, is he going to find out that it was one of his friends? And from the way he answered, which is not like he was not being cagey how he answered it, it was like, he was almost like, no, it couldn't be any one of his friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was too busy staring at him.
Well, I couldn't directly stare. I was sitting right next to him. Unlike you, I wasn't sitting across the table where I could stare.
Are you kidding me? That's why I sat there. Anyway.
This conversation is going nowhere fast. Or down the, down the drain fast, I should say. Okay, are we done with Burn Notice?
I think so.
Is there anything else, though, besides this stuff that we wanted to say this week? Yes, no, so. I know what we wanted to say, that we will not be here next week. Amory is going to go globetrotting yet again.
This is true.
We won't count that the Globetrotting is only a few hours away from her, but still.
It's a 90-minute train ride.
Globetrotting is globetrotting, people. I don't care how close you're going.
Word.
More importantly, I am not going to be editing a podcast on my birthday weekend, so we will not be here next week.
Send Ray birthday wishes.
Yeah, that's your last bit of homework.
Okay. Send me birthday wishes.
I can't argue with that.
If you wish to send me birthday wishes, you are more than welcome to.
Say, hey, Ray, happy birthday. That's the worst loss prediction I've ever heard.
Excuse me, do not say that.
Here's what's really going to be the case.
Yes, exactly. You can do that. Please do not wish me my microphone to be broken. Because that's not a very nice birthday wish either.
And look Jason. At us rambling on again.
Okay. So that about wraps us up. I don't know what our topic is for the week after that. You can certainly call it if you have an idea for a topic for us.
Is that still too early to do? Are we going to do it a week later, the spring preview?
I don't know. When? It depends.
So we don't know. Think about it.
Long story short, we got nothing.
Like I said.
We're going to have birthday cake and think about what our topics will be.
That is not what's going to be happening.
Alcoholic.
Excuse you. Where did that come from? I am going to have some wine, though, just for the record. A little Italian sparkling wine. It's very good. Maybe that's why I was doing my Italian accent. All right. Anyway. All right, you guys. If you would like to call in with any of those things, you can call in at 213-985-3176, or you can email us on the website, tvtimes3.com. Spell it all out.
.com.
Feel free to leave a comment on the podcast post. Or, you know what you could do? You could go to iTunes and leave us some feedback. People. Really.
Yeah. Feedback is always good.
All three of you who are listening, you can leave us some feedback, okay? Our music today, as every time, is provided by iodapromonet.com. It is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records. Anything else?
No.
Then let's put this puppy to bed.
I think that concludes our Super Bowl super extended extra long edition of the podcast.
Yes. We apologize, people, but you're not getting us next week, so we thought we'd give you a double dose.
There you go.
Listen to half and half, if that makes you feel better. But listen to the second half first, except if you're listening to the first Oh, except Lord. That you're listening to the first half and won't hear this until you're done with the second half. So
it's always good to put the listening instructions at the end.
Hopefully you are listening to the end of the podcast first, like everybody does. All right, you guys.
All right,
we're being
guys.
Silly. I think we should go.
It's time to go.
What's our foreign word of the week?
I haven't learned anything new, but...
Namaste?
Namaste. Yes.
Like what that. Were you going to say, Amory?
I was going to say sayonara. New,
but... Sayonara. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye. Wait, what's the song?
Well, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
I love you, Amory.
Thank you very much.
Can you sing us out?
The time has come. I don't know the words.
It's never stopped you before.
Well, auf Wiedersehen adieu to you, to you, to you, and you, and you. Goodbye. I wouldn't be without a TV
birthday. Not even. Let me replug and see what happens.
Okay.
That's what she said.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV.